In the book, the Bible that I often bring to my chair, it's New King James. This is the one I have right now is King James. But that one I was reading yesterday as he was taking us through the scriptures. And when he came to the story about Elisha, and he was talking about how Elijah called for a bowl and they put salt in it and then he poured it in and it was, the waters were healed and the barrenness was healed. And he was liking salt that we are as Christ's life in us. I read in New King James that it didn't say in my Bible. And it said this, that I'll just read it to you, but it says in 2 Kings 2:20 and 21, bring me a new bowl and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water, and from it there shall be no more death or barrenness. And what struck me when I read the New King James was where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. My life in you, you are the salt of the earth. What struck me is that when Christ is in our life, number one, we get healed at the source of things. And number two, we bring healing to the source. And that kind of captivated me because, of course, that's only possible in Christ, but we get healed at the source of things. And then we can actually bring healing to situations, to relationships, to what we are facing, situations when we leave here. We can actually bring healing to the source and the root of things. And as I was thinking and pondering about that, and that amazing thing that happens in Christ, that I was thinking about it, the year of answered prayer, and this amazing thing that God gave us to, this is his word to us for this year. You know, nobody thinks these things up. We wait and we pray till we get that witness in the spirit that where the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do this year. So you see, this is something the Lord is doing in our midst this year. And you actually leave with this. It doesn't, you know, you get this, you get to live in this promise. I get to live in this promise. But especially the year of answered prayer. I was thinking that we have prayed prayers. And, you know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed prayers. And it seemed like a delay in the answer to prayer. And the word of the Lord came to Daniel and said, from the moment you prayed, I heard you. From the moment you prayed and you asked, I have come in response to your prayer. But it says that I've been delayed because the archangel Michael, this angel, was resisted by the prince of Persia. It's talking, of course, what's happening in the heavenly realms, in the spirit realm. And I got to thinking, Lord, you said we're the salt of the earth. And in that promise is that we are going to be healed at source and we bring healing at the source of things. We pray prayers. They don't seem to be answered right away. But because the Lord always deals with the source of things, with the root of things, with the foundation of things, a lot of times he's saying, you think I'm slow to answer. You think that, you know, I've prayed and I've prayed and is anything happening? And the Lord said, no, from the moment you prayed it with a sincere heart, I'm answering it. But you see, here's how I operate. I go to the source of things. I heal you at source and I'm going to allow you an anointing on your life to bring healing and restoration to the source of things. And sometimes that takes time and faith. But it's an amazing promise in Christ. And, you know, I began to think about when we talk about salt. Of course, I was immediately reminded about Lot's wife. And I want to talk to her a little bit about the positive message or the positive side of Lot's wife. Because Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? And I asked Pastor Angelo yesterday in the back room, I said, you know, how does salt lose its savor? How does salt lose it, so to speak? If we're the salt, how do you lose it? He says, well, you lose it by diluting it. dilution. That's how salt loses its saltiness. That's how salt loses it, what it's supposed to do. So I thought on that, and I was thinking about this promise, we are salt, that we will be healed at source. We will bring healing. We will be anointed to bring healing at the source of problems as we leave this place. And I thought about the possibility of losing our saltiness through dilution. You know, when you leave this place, you return to your life of screens. And as we all know, and you're well aware, from these screens, of course, is a diluting stream, isn't there? There is, it is not the Spirit of Christ for the most part that animates it. Now, we have to live in a modern world. You're going back to your screens. But they have the power of dilution. They have the power of the salt that we are. And the hope of the healing that is ours in Christ, and the hope of the healing that we bring to others and our situation at source. We do have a place where our screens do bring this dilution, this ability to dissolve salt. And I was thinking about Lot's wife, nameless lady. And they moved to Sodom. And they lived on Sodom. It's sort of like they lived a world that really did prefigure a life of screens, where I think a lot of times what's being presented through the media, what I think young people have ingested so much of, that they have gone hollow. They're hollow inside. It's like they don't know who they are anymore. They don't know the fundamentals of what sometimes we take for granted as security, stability, right thinking, whole inside, healed inside, able to care. A lot of it is being hollowed out, and a lot of times it's because this ingesting of what the Spirit is. Almost a spirit of Sodom. And Lot and his family and Lot's wife, they move close to Sodom. And we know what happened there. You know, they didn't just move into Sodom. I think Sodom moved into them. But the story that I think that part of the story that applies so much is the scripture always referred to Lot as righteous Lot. And there's no doubt that he was many times vexed where he lived. And the dilution of that place, the influence of Sodom on his life, was probably going deeper, more deeper than he knew. And somehow there must have been a cry from him and a cry from that whole family. God, you got to help us. I feel like we're in a place, and it's very dangerous. We're living in a place that it just seems to take the life out of us. It has that ability even to take our call, to take our identity, to take so much. And I know that there was a cry out. And the scripture says that God sent angels, didn't he? He sent angels to take them out of that city of destruction that God is going to move his hand against. And let's not be deceived, because even though the Lord seems slow in moving, he is angry with sin every day and angry with sinners every day. There, we kind of feel like this world is racing to a collision course with God. And we who are salt, we who have the ability to be healed at the source, and we who have the ability to actually bring healing to the source, and we find ourselves living somehow by virtue, we've been taken to Sodom. I think Lot's wife, you know, she was taken there. I don't know if she had a vote. I don't know if she got a say whether or not we're going to go live in Sodom. I don't know. The way it works out in those days, she was probably taken to Sodom. And we can leave this place and find ourselves taken to Sodom. Are you following me, what I'm saying here? Through the screens and through what is out there. But there came a cry. Oh God, this is beyond us. This is, you've got something better for us. And God answered their prayer, and he sent angels to lead them out, as he will do. except we know that there was one thing and one incident that happened before their deliverance. Completely inexplicable. Completely inexplicable. And you live life long enough, and guess what? You get moments of unexplained pain, number one. You might be a little young to know this, but it happens. And number two, inexplicable things happen in the sense of, God, are you with me or not? And this is what happened to this family. And angels came to the door, and we know the story, that people crowded around their door, their minds full of sexual perversion. They wanted to take these messengers of God. And Lot, in understanding that this is God's deliverance for us, this is God's will for us, he thinks he pulls these angels in. He thinks he wants to protect them. And what he thinks he has to do, I don't know, or what he should do or how he's going to save, because God doesn't need saving, but he pulls the angels in, but he offers his daughters to the mob. And then the angels, they're not offered, and the angels begin to hurry them along. We've got to leave this place. We've got to leave this place. And he's hurrying them along, and Lot all of a sudden realizes, wow, we're going to escape. The goodness of God, we're going to escape. We live on the edge of Sodom, but the mercy has found us, and God is... And they start remembering, what about this one? What about that one? And the angels are going, no, they're not going to listen. There's no time. You got to go. And so they get hurried out of Sodom with the daybreak, when God has chosen judgment. And this town is exploding behind their backs. God is, it's clear they have to leave now. They have to obey now to be saved and to be saved from the destruction. And as they're leaving, honestly, I believe, beloved, I think that Lot's wife, as she's leaving, I think that there was so much happened in the name of God. So much has happened in her life. She's partaken, I think, of the spirit of Sodom. They all have. And there's this look like God has come to deliver us. So I think she's in a complete confusion at some point, and part of Sodom is in her. And as they go to leave, I personally believe that all of a sudden she couldn't follow anymore. Because you know what? In her mind, in her heart, there was somebody right in front of her that she felt had so wounded her or betrayed her, had done something in the name of God that completely confused her. And I believe she just, in the end, the pull of Sodom was so strong that she couldn't see that God was leading them, and God was at the head of the parade, and the Lord was leading them out of destruction, and the Lord was going to answer them, and he was going to do something in and through them that was brand new. He was done with the system he was destroying, which was Sodom. He was taking them out of Sodom, and he was going to start something brand new in this lineage. But this woman, this person couldn't, I think, lift her eyes any farther than the person right in front of her that she's following. And he represents, there could be that representing all my problems, all the reason why I'm in the mess I am, or how could you do that? And she just stopped following. She had a lot of pain, and she didn't understand that God was going to the source. God was going to be faithful to her and go to the source of what the problem was. They were going to be delivered from Sodom and that way of thinking and the pollutions of Sodom. And he had an amazing thing for her. But all she could see was the person right in front of her, and that person or that situation looks like the problem, and I can't follow that anymore. This problem is leading me, and she's overcome, but she forgets that there is actually angels in the very front of this line leading them out of destruction. And I just want to say, when you leave this place, please remember Lot's wife, not as somebody who blew it, and not as somebody who turned into a pillar of salt, was dissolved in front of them, and never found her way to her appointed place, which was to escape Sodom, all its destruction, all that it represents, its filthiness, its perversions, its wrong thinking about God, its pride, its haughtiness. She couldn't understand what was happening in her life, and she was just focusing, I can't follow that one in front of me anymore. I can't follow. And she stopped dead in her tracks. And the call in our life was to get free and to start a new lineage. And beloved, I just want to say to you, when you leave this place today, God has a calling on your life. You are the salt of the earth. And he's going to go to the root of the problem. And sometimes you just have to believe he's going to be good to you. That when you fail, you and I don't get what we deserve. We get a plan of salvation. We get led out from deliverance. And when you leave this place, remember this call on your life. That you have the ability to be healed at source. And you have the ability to bring healing to source. But sometimes the way that God reveals what is truly going on, what is truly happening in our life, it doesn't go the plan we think it's going to go. We can get into inexplicable situations. And we can so focus on that, we stop following because we say, I'm so confused. I'm so mixed up. I have maybe partaken of the Sodom spirit. And can God ever deliver me? Does God want to deliver me? Absolutely. She was on the path to deliverance. She was going to be put to a place that was a brand new beginning. And we were going to celebrate this woman. We might have even known her name. And you know, we think about this nameless woman. And sometimes we can identify, you know, in the big picture, in the kingdom of God, does my life matter? If I show up, does it matter? And I've spoken this to you before. But you know, it really did matter that Lot's wife showed up, because when they were led out and she just couldn't follow the plan anymore, she couldn't see this was a path of freedom. She just couldn't see that at this moment her problems looked so big. This another person looked like such a problem that she couldn't follow God anymore. And she got overwhelmed. And the spirit that was in Sodom and what had overtaken her was winning. She couldn't see that if she had just kept following, the mercy of God and the plan of God was amazing. He was going to heal her. He was going to bring healing through her. But because she didn't show up, we know the story that Lot with his daughters fathered two enemies, tribes of Israel. It mattered that she showed up. It totally mattered that she didn't give up. It totally mattered that she didn't make it. Can I say to you, it totally matters that you make it. It totally matters that you keep following. Now, when you leave this place, you know, and life comes in spades and it can look overwhelming. I want you to remember something. God has sent his deliverance and his deliverer. He's taking you out of the city of destruction and he's leading you to a path, not just an appointed place, but you're going to get healed at the source and you are going to bring healing at the source. Because that's the gospel. That's what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. But you're going to go to a place where the enemy of salt is dilution. Being diluted by another. Not diluted, but diluted also. For those that are not English speakers, they're very close. Diluted, of course, we need to be deceived. Diluted means that the spirit of God in you begins to be mingled with another spirit, spirit of the world, spirit of the enemy, the spirit of flesh. And, you know, beloved, he will be faithful to you and I. But here's the problem when we live real close to Sodom for a long time. We lose sight of important things. And we lose faith. And we somehow can't believe anymore that if I'm the salt of the earth, then the call on my life is to be healed at source and to bring healing at source. And we can lose sight of that. But you know what? Even though they lived so close to Sodom, God in his mercy was sending deliverance. And he will do that for us. And he will be faithful to you and I. He will. And just keep walking, beloved. And you can stray in and out of a place that wants to dilute you in your mind, in your spirit. You can do that. But stop and remember Lot's wife, will you? Because somehow she thought she was following a problem, a situation. She couldn't do it anymore and lost sight that the head of the parade was God himself. You gave your life to him. He will be faithful to you. I tell you, when life takes strange twists and turns, when problems and situations can overwhelm you, can I tell you, keep following him? Just make it real simple. I'm going to keep following him. Because he is my deliverer and he is that merciful. He is that good. He's not fed up with me. But beloved, here's the thing. I think at some point we've got to just take it into our spirit. Lord, I want to ask for a spirit of obedience, and I want to ask for a spirit of endurance. And I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived by Sodom. I don't want to be deceived by my problems that seem to be leading me, my situations, people, bad relationships, things that can so easily overwhelm me. Lord, I will remember her and I will keep following because you're at the head of the parade for my deliverance to use my life in an amazing way. And I matter. And I thank you, I matter. I matter to you. But I cast my care on you. I cast the burden of this. And I'm being deceived because, you know, I'm parked kind of close to Sodom. I'm parked at times, sometimes by influences that just all of a sudden want me to see. I feel like I'm following a problem. I'm following a crazy part of my life that doesn't seem to have your imprint on it, doesn't seem to your hand on it. I will not be deceived. Because you are mighty to save. And I want you to open my eyes and remind me what I'm walking out of is blowing up. It's under your wrath. But what I'm walking into is the best life possible. I am going to be healed at source. That takes a little time. My prayers will be answered. Sometimes not all of them are immediate. Because there is a battle going on in the heavenlies. But I'm going to keep faith and I'm going to keep walking. And when I find myself in places where I'm being influenced, where those screens and or the thinking of the world, that's what I mean by that a lot of times. You know, you're going to have to negotiate how you live your life. God is with you. He will help you. He will help you. He will be faithful to you. And he will lead you out of everything that, if you have an honest heart, I'll tell you, he will be faithful to you. But remember Lot's wife and keep following. If you, like Nico said today, just get up and keep following. Don't let your fear keep you frozen. Don't let your unbelief freeze you in the path. You matter. You matter. It matters you keep following. It matters that you are led out of the city of destruction. It matters that you, the call on your life is to be healed at source and to bring healing at source. Because that's what that woman was supposed to be about. And somehow, that salt in her emptied out. So, beloved, I'm just going to ask, can you come back, music ministry, just for a minute? This message will be best applied to you when you have the least amount of feelings, when you have to, by faith, not by feeling, say, Lord, it doesn't matter what situation I find myself in, I'm going to rise and I'm going to keep following you. And the amazing reward is when all of a sudden, little by little, you keep following, you get healed at source, and little by little, you bring healing at the source. What places of confusion and lives that are in confusion. It is that good. It is worth it to keep following. There is a call of salt on your life that goes way beyond anything you and I could know. And that's why it's so worth it. You know, this whole world, you know what people say if you interview people your age? What do you want to do with your life? What do you, like our church should say, what are you living for? If you just went out and interviewed, I don't know, anybody in their 20s out there and say, what are you living for? What do you want to live for? You know what I'll tell you most of them would say? I want to live my passion. I want to live my dream. I don't want to do 9 to 5. I want to find out what I was created for, and I want to live my passion. Can I tell you this is the way to live your passion? tell you, this is the way to live your passion. Because I was sharing with someone last night, you know, people have this, what I think is an erroneous thing of, I'm going to live work balance. I'm going to live 9 to 5 and then what I like to do. But you know, the people that have the most fulfilled life is where the wall is thinnest between what they do for a living and what they do when they're not working for a living. Are you hearing me? When the wall is the thinnest between that, you are living your passion. And the only people I know that live their passion every day in the truest sense are the ones that follow Jesus Christ and keep on following him. Because then it becomes what's in your heart, your passion to live for him and the benefit of the others becomes more possible every day. And you don't live, I think what a lot of people have bought is, I'm going to live work balance situation in my life. Well, go ahead. If you want to keep them balanced, that means far apart to me, like this. Because you have to keep it balanced, right? But I think the people who they are and what they do, that wall is the thinnest between that. Live the most amazing lives. That's what people want. They want to live their passion. And may I remind you, that word passion at its root means suffering. When they don't understand, when they say, I want to live my passion, it does mean a little bit of suffering. And it doesn't mean I want to live a life of bliss. They think that's what that means. But if they say, I want to live my passion, may I remind you, the word passion means suffering. There is a little bit. There is that in that. And keep following, beloved, because if you want to live this life that you want to live, I tell you, this is the path. Keep following. Keep following him. No matter what immediately in front of you looks like the problem, no matter or that person or whatever, that's not the problem. Your life is truly being led by the Spirit of God. You truly are being led out of Sodom and into a place of the call in your life. So no matter where life takes you, when you leave this place, and it will include the screens, and it will include the streams of Sodom through those streams, you can make a decision. Lord, I thank you. There is deliverance from wrong thinking for me. There is deliverance if I feel like a little compromised, if I'm feeling like a little dull, if I'm feeling like, Lord, I'm negotiating my way when I leave out of this place, I thank you there's deliverance for me. I thank you there's mercy for me. I'm not going to be deceived by the enemy. My life is to be healed at source and to give healing at source. I'm living my passion. I'm going to live my passion. That's possible. So we're at the end. And I just want to invite anybody that just says, Lord, I want an obedient spirit, and I want to be, Lord, an enduring spirit. And I see today, I'm going to remember Lot's wife, but she's going to speak to me. Strength, hope. I'm going to remember who was leading her parade. There was a lot of Sodom in her that took her sight, but I thank you, God, you are merciful to me. And I thank you, ultimately, the salt that was in her your life in her could have allowed her to keep on walking. And you say, Lord, I'm trusting you. You love me. You are leading my parade. If what's right in front of me looks like it's leading, it's not leading. You are. And I thank you. I'm going to look to you for courage, obedience, and endurance all the days of my life, because I'm salt and I matter. And he is with you. And he loves you so much. He loves you so much. That means love never fails. That means you and I get there when we stay in the truth. So I'm just going to ask you to stand, and you're just saying, Lord, this last official chapel, if you're in the giving out business today, this is what I want. And I believe it's his joy. I believe it's his love that's saying, I'm going to say something so deep in your heart. I'm going to keep you out there. Jesus, you have been so good to us this year. So we say thank you. You have blessed us with a heart for you and a heart for truth. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this class. Thank you for this group of people. I thank you, Lord, that people leave this place and they go out and they are salt to their generation. I thank you, Lord, we know we don't have to stand alone, but all the days of our life, you will be faithful to lead us out of places of destruction. You will lead us into the life you have planned for us. I pray now for the gift of faith. I pray, oh God, for this class, for a gift of faith that allows them, oh God, to look higher than the circumstance they seem to be following, the problems that seem to be leading them, the situations that seem so tangled. I pray for the gift of faith to declare, God, you love me and you are leading me out. Lord, I just pray now for a spirit of obedience, oh God. I pray for a spirit of obedience that Lord, you will be faithful to us. But I pray, Lord, that so many in this place don't have to fall into innumerable number of ditches before they learn how faithful you are. But I pray, oh God, for a spirit of obedience that even now, oh God, even though they know their own weakness, that Lord, that they will say, Lord, I ask for a spirit of obedience. Even in little things, even if it just means taking the first step in the direction of obedience, Lord, I want that to start now. That my life may be fruitful. That I, Lord, may not just be healed, but I may bring healing at source to my family, to my ministry, to the life you have planned for me. Lord, let my eyes go higher. It's just not about me. It's going to be bringing healing also. But I thank you, Lord. You promised to be our healer at the source of things. So we keep praying, knowing today this prayer, Lord, you are going to answer. The prayer, oh God, of faith. The prayer for a spirit of obedience. The prayer, oh God, for endurance. Thank you. So, beloved, just this last chapel, I'm just going to ask you if you would just raise your hands. And it's sort of a statement to your situation, to the enemy, to the angels, to the Lord Jesus who loves you and is your victory. I thank you, Lord. How amazing you are. I thank you for the promise to be led out of every destructive place. I thank you, Lord, for the promise to be merciful. I thank you for the promise that you are faithful. I thank you for the promise that you are for us and you will keep us. I thank you for the courage that comes, oh God, because our eyes are fixed on you. I thank you for the compassion that you've worked into us because we've been less than perfect. I thank you for a prayer life that doesn't need an answer to prayer the next minute, but believes, oh God, from the moment we spoke it, you are pleased to hear it and to answer it at source. We declare, oh God, you are faithful and you are good, and we will not stop praying because, oh God, you are doing something that is beyond our comprehension, and it is amazing. You are the author of our prayers, and you are the finishers of our prayers. And you are doing a work so deep, so at source, it will astound us. So give us eyes to fixed on you, oh God, not the immediate circumstance or problem ahead of us that will turn us back. But we lift our eyes farther. You are leading us out and you are leading us in. And you are so amazing. You are amazing. So now, Lord, I pray the courage of a lion, the spirit of obedience, all that they need, oh God. When they return to the world, Lord, I thank you. You will be amazing to them and through them. You are so faithful. So our hands are up to receive, and our hands are up to say thank you. We believe it. beloved, when you pray, I give you my life. All I have is yours. Amazing thing is he takes it. So you keep it simple. I give my life to follow. When you leave this place and it looks like, wow, what am I following? Like, no leading, whatever. You just do the next thing. You do it with integrity. And every day you tell yourself, I give my life to follow. I trust you. God knows. God sees you. And that inner prayer and that declaration of trust, he answers. And that prayer gets answered 6 months down the road, 8 months down the road in an amazing way. You know what happens? You go, oh my gosh, God opened that door. And you go through with such confidence. And then you go, I give my life to follow. And then for a season, it might be a bit of a bumpy road, what that means. But you go, Lord, I thank you. I give my life to follow. And you took it. And I believe you're not wasting my life. And then he'll show up and he'll be another door that you go through. And you go, this is amazing. God provided. I tell you, you determine to follow and you keep praying. He answers that prayer better than you know many times later. But I tell you, you will not fail you. And the life everybody wants is the life you're living. It's the life you're living. He's that good. So, know you are blessed, beloved. You are blessed if you have a heart to follow. I mean, I don't care what else you don't have. If you have that, you are amazingly blessed. Amazingly blessed. So, Lord, I thank you. In this last formal chapel, we declare, Lord, all the training maybe has been for us to say, I give my life to follow. And when it doesn't look like I'm being led very clearly or very well, you know what? I'm just going to tell the devil, I give my life to follow him. And I thank you, Lord. We will not be led by our hard situation or, you know, inexplicable things or unexplained pain. We lift our eyes higher. You are leading the parade of my life. I thank you. So, Lord, now I pray faith, courage, endurance, joy, and abundance of salt in their lives and in their ministry. I thank you. You hear this prayer in the year of answered prayer. I thank you. You're going to answer it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask. That's just who you are.